You know, there's been a dark side to church history where often so-called Christians have persecuted Jews for not believing in Jesus. Do you know today there are Jews who do believe in Jesus and they are being persecuted by fellow Jews?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, coming your way from Dallas, Texas, on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Thanks so much for tuning in. I want you to sit back, enjoy the broadcast, which I believe you'll find very, very informative. If you're a Jewish friend and you're not a believer in Jesus, Yeshua, if you're hostile to faith in Jesus, if you're curious, please keep listening. I think you'll find today's broadcast very informative, eye-opening, and perhaps even challenging. So I won't be taking calls, but please connect with me if you like via Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. That's A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, or via Twitter, Dr. That's D-R, Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. Before I get into the heart of the subject today on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday and talk to you about Jews persecuting fellow Jews over faith in Jesus Yeshua, what's happening in Israel today, and whether we can expect to see more of this in the future, I want to just talk about a few other events of real importance. Here I am in Texas, and there was an explosion last night, terrible explosion at a fertilizer plant. Dozens feared dead, the reports of between 5 and 15 dead, and then it could be much, much higher, and apparently accidental, but then questions about that. We've got this terrible explosion, whatever the cause, just a few days after the terrorist bombing in Boston. And it brings a terrible feeling of being unsettled, a sense of things being out of control. I'm just saying how Americans would feel, unless we're so hardened and so insensitive to the news and so desensitized by the constant information that's available to us of tragedy and calamity and on and on. But as we look at these things, it reminds me of periods of time in Israel when there were terrible terrorist attacks on a much, much more frequent level within the land. I remember being in India one year with Nancy, one of our early trips in the 90s, and in a very short period of time, there were two horrific terrorist bomb blasts. I mean, devastating destruction and loss of life and trauma. And in a short period of time, I thought, how in the world did this happen? I remember talking to friends of mine in Israel at times when the ongoing terrorist attacks were more severe. And they said, yeah, some of our friends, the husband and wife will never go out alone together without the kids. Either the husband will go grocery shopping or something like that, or the wife will go, or the parents will go with the kids. But they did not want to go out. Mom and dad, husband and wife together, say just, you know, a date night, just the two of them, for fear that something would happen to them, that there'd be some terrorist attack, some bomb, and that they'd both be killed and leave the kids as orphans. This is how many have lived. Why do I say that? I say that to remind us that as Israel gets attacked and flack, it's thoroughly Jewish Thursday, that's why this is on my mind. As Israel gets criticized for the security fence, which in short parts is a wall as well, and apartheid, and look at this, and it's a land grab. In point of fact, since the fence/wall was put up, terrorist attacks are down drastically through the land. But now there's the greater hostility of a hostile Muslim world surrounding Israel. They live in the midst of this. The tragedies here in America should just sensitize us a little more to what our friends experience and have experienced on a regular basis in Israel, while we pray for victims here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to this special Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Michael Brown, so pleased to have this opportunity to be with you. Coming away from Dallas, Texas today, but not taking phone calls. A lot of content I want to cover. So sit back, enjoy the broadcast. Again, you can always connect with me via our website, AskDrBrown.org. And as you do that, you can find out how to connect via Facebook, Twitter, or just get our e-blast by going to AskDrBrown.org. Something very, very exciting I just want to present to you and let you know that as you sow into our work, you're going to be helping us do something very, very special. I have put together over the years many, many, many hours of teaching on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. I've been teaching, how many sessions did I do in 3 days? I think I recorded after radio for three straight days, the last 3 days, something like 26, 27 classes. Yes, it's a lot of video recording to be used by the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute for their international school. I have an even longer series, a more full series I've done on countering the counter-missionaries, answering Jewish objections to Jesus. And the door has opened for us to begin broadcasting, putting this material on TV and on a growing network that's in 30 million homes already that you can watch on cable TV. Within the next few months, we will have that in place, but the door is open. The only thing that's they're waiting for right now is us getting things in the proper format to begin to air. We'll be able to air some of our best debates we've had over the years, some of our best apologetics materials. It's just a wonderful open door from the Lord, and the amount of people we get to reach for a certain amount of money is mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. So I want to encourage you, those who pray for us in Jewish ministry, the Lord has really opened a significant door, and we are thrilled with it and blessed with it. So thanks for praying. We're confident that many, many more Jewish people will be touched, that Jewish people will tune in and watch this and have questions answered, that believers in Jesus will be further equipped to go out and make a difference. Last week, there was a verdict in Israel, and it was a major case. Little more than 5 years ago, there was a terrorist bomb. It was one of the more shocking things that happened in Israel. Just looked like, beautiful Jewish holiday gift, exchange of gifts, a basket. Young Jewish man opened up, young teenager opens up the basket at his home. It's a terrorist bomb. You think, what kind of Islamic terrorist would take advantage of a Jewish holiday and present something looking like a Jewish gift basket? And Messianic Jewish young man, boy, opens it up. It's almost blown to bits. The apartment is blown to bits. If you see what happened to the apartment, if you see what happened to the apartment behind him, the Ortiz family, Jewish believers in Jesus, Yeshua, ministering in Israel and ministering over to Palestinians and to Muslims. If you see what happened, pictures of the apartment, you say, no one survived this, especially the one who opened this basket. But Ami Ortiz, who opened the basket, survived. And you say, he must be a complete vegetable. He survived. He said many surgeries. And the doctors in Israel would basically unanimously say it's a miracle he survived and it's a miracle that he recovered. And he plays basketball right now in school in America where he is studying. It is absolutely mind-boggling to see what happened. Well, when it was learned that the person behind this was not a Muslim terrorist but a Jewish terrorist, an ultra-Orthodox Jew, it sent even more shockwaves through the country. Well, last week, an Israeli court brought the case to closure. American-born ultra-Orthodox Jew Jack Teitel was sentenced to two life sentences plus 30 years for other crimes, one being the attempted murder of the Ortiz family. There were others he killed. He killed two Arabs as well. Anyway, so Ami Ortiz was 15 years old when the bomb blast went off. Jack Teitel said he had no regrets. I mean, it's all right, he's a sicko. Right, we understand he's a sicko. We understand that he does not represent 99.999% of Jews in the world, or the vast majority, the vast majority of ultra-Orthodox Jews. We understand that. The last thing on my mind is to present a picture where Orthodox Jews around the world say, that's good, you know, let's do more of this. Okay, it is a complete aberration. Now, there are some who are radical crazy extremists, but you're going to have that in every group. Every group is going to have radical crazy extremists, and they bring reproach to the whole, and they don't represent the whole. But what's interesting, as a result of this, there are Jewish believers who are now saying, are we prepared for persecution in Israel? Why? Because they know this is a radical extremist. But they know that there are many who are less extreme who will oppose their faith in Jesus every possible way. In the past, a Messianic congregation in Israel, led by friends of ours, was firebombed. I personally know Orthodox Jewish believers in Jesus Yeshua, ultra-Orthodox, who have been kidnapped because of their faith in Jesus Yeshua, who were subjected to intense, quote, deprogramming attempts, who have been beaten, many others who have been ostracized by families in ways that were very costly to them, others threatened. There are Messianic Jews in the land, and there are in front of their house day and night ultra-Orthodox Jews with loudspeakers harassing them, and the police say, hey, nothing we can do about it. I want you to understand that within Israel, there is a growing ultra-Orthodox population. And for a Jew to believe in Jesus in their mind is one of the worst possible spiritual crimes that could be committed. I've been in Israel in the midst of protests some years back. We were there at a major conference, and there was an attempt to put pressure on the hotel. This has happened. I've seen this with a Messianic Jewish conference where ultra-Orthodox will put pressure on them and say, if you hold this conference, you will lose your kashrut status. You will lose your status of being recognized for serving kosher food here, which means that you will not be allowed to host weddings and bar mitzvah celebrations and things like that, which would hurt your income a lot. Hotels have said, hey, you can't threaten us, and others have backed away. I was at one conference where we had these tour buses because of the amount of people that had come for the conference, and the tires got slit on the buses by ultra-Orthodox Jews, and then there were crowds outside the hotel. They were kept outside the parking lot, but they were kind of outside of a wall, and they were chanting. They had signs, Hitler wanted our bodies, you want our souls. In other words, that's how they look at us. That's how they look at us. Let me say again. What happened with this bomb and this bomber, Jack Teitel, he's a murderer. He's a foul sinner that needs the mercy and grace of God. He needs Yeshua's kindness to transform his life. There's not a single Orthodox Jew or ultra-Orthodox Jew or counter-missionary I know in the world who would do anything but condemn what he did. But there are many, many lesser forms of terrorism and attack. There are many, many lesser forms of persecution. There are many, many lesser forms of intimidation. And I personally believe that in the coming years, opposition to Jewish faith in Jesus Yeshua in the land of Israel is going to increase and intensify. When we come back next segment, I want to talk to you about a fascinating interchange I once had at a scholarly conference in Chicago that ties right in with this subject of what happened in the New Testament, what I believe we can expect to happen today. By the way, everyone listening on WHIM in Florida, tomorrow night, Friday night, my friend Sid Roth will be holding a night of Jewish miracles. You know a Jewish friend that needs a miracle, healing? Hey, bring them out. He'll lift up Yeshua and pray for the sick. You never know what will happen. Go to SidRoth.org. I'm sure you'll find out more. We come back, a fascinating story. You'll find it very, very eye-opening right here on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for tuning in today. I'm not taking phone calls. I'm coming away from Texas today. I've been here recording classes after radio each day, recording 4, 5, 6 hours of teaching, video recording for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute, equipping believers and equipping Jewish and Gentile believers to understand how to respond to Jewish objections to the faith, and then to give solid answers for our faith in Jesus Yeshua the Messiah. And then these lectures will then be translated into multiple languages and used in many branches of this institute around the world. So it's a really neat opportunity to be doing this. We got about 85-90% finished, and I've got to speak at a banquet tonight in Abilene, Texas, and then finish some of these up on Friday. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please come and hear me speak at Congregation Baruch Hashem in Dallas Saturday morning, the Shabbat service, and then I'll be doing a seminar Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, God willing, on the real kosher Jesus, going through my book there at Congregation Baruch Hashem, led by my dear friend Marty Waldman. Marty's father was a Holocaust survivor. Very, very moving story. His father, let me just take a minute and share this. His father is a Polish Jew, and he and other Jews in his community captured, and they're going to be executed. But some of the soldiers comes up that needed a tailor. His dad said, "Well, yeah, I can do this. I can sew your clothes, do whatever needs to be done." And I've just got an assistant. You know, he had his best friend there. He said, "I just need my assistant to help." Well, they killed the assistant, killed his friend, let the dad live. You can imagine the trauma, the utter trauma. I'm not getting every detail of the story here exact, just the main strokes of it. Anyway, he survives. He somehow survives the Holocaust. He's now back in his home or friend's home after the Holocaust in Poland. They have nothing. They have nowhere to go, nothing to do. They're sitting around just playing cards. I mean, there's no life. And someone comes into the house and starts shooting these Jews. They were upset that any Jews survived, one of the neighbors, and he just ran and never looked back. I mean, it's shocking to think of what people have lived through, what people have lived through. The fact is, though, many, many Jews, many religious Jews associate the Holocaust with Christianity. They associate the Holocaust with Christian faith. They associate the Holocaust in Poland with Catholics and Catholicism. You're a Catholic listener, you say that's horrific. Yes, but there were many, many virulent anti-Semites in Poland, Jew haters in Poland, and they would inflame their congregants against the Jews, militant anti-Semitic priests who inflamed their congregants against the Jews. And, you know, at Easter time, they would inflame the congregations against the so-called Christ killers. You say that's unimaginable. I'm just saying it happened. It happened. It's reality. It happened. It's tragic. Yes, it happened. And there were anti-Semitic Catholics who were so upset with the fact that any Jews survived the Holocaust that they killed them once they came back to their houses, their farms. This actually happened. They're Ukrainian SS men in the Holocaust, and their belts said, God is with us. There were Nazi guards in Germany that, you know, would brutalize Jews and torture Jews and then go home with their family and sing Christmas carols and celebrate Christmas. That's Christianity, as many Jews have known it. Those that survived the Holocaust or their descendants, many of them now live in Israel. Many of them in their ultra-Orthodox. And they see Jews believing in Jesus. And in their mind, this is the worst possible crime. And they'll say, Hitler wanted our bodies. You want our souls. You have become believers in this apostate faith, this apostate religion. In fact, let me just do this. We've had a special offer through the week, and we'll continue that. Do you have my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood? Have you ever read it? It's been in print continuously since it came out 21 years ago. It's been translated into more languages than any book I've ever written. I believe it sells for somewhere around $17-$18. Do you have it? It tells the story of anti-Semitism in church history. I didn't plan to get into this at all in this segment. It tells the shocking story of how even the words of Martin Luther later in his life, horrific anti-Jewish words, were utilized by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis for some of their strategy. Yeah, Martin Luther, Protestant. Mm-hmm. It talks about God's eternal purposes for the Jewish people and shows some of the beauties of Judaism, so near and yet so far, as I say in the book. If you don't have the book, I really encourage you to get it. So to make it accessible to everyone, if you can afford to pay for it, please do. But your gift of any size, I want to send the book out to you, all right? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, I want to send you a copy of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. Friends, it'll be one of the most eye-opening books you read. There have been pastors that haven't had a vision or heart for Israel, and they've read the book, and it's absolutely changed their lives. My Chinese translator of the book, I remember when he worked on it years ago, emailed me and said, I'm translating your book, wailing and screaming. He was so overwhelmed by the contents, and your faith will be built as you read it. So let me just do that. 1-800-278-9978 as we get word to our phone team about our special offer today. Your gift of any size, stand with us, help us. In fact, as you're helping us now expand and get some of our best apologetics material on TV for Jewish outreach and for equipping the church as well. There was a story I was going to tell about something that happened at a scholarly conference that you'll find fascinating. I've got to do it in the next segment. If you're leaving me now on the air, just catch the whole broadcast online, askdrbrown.org. Just click on the line of fire. Friends, I say this, I tell you about the horrors of the Holocaust and how many religious Jews and Eastern European Jews, connect the Holocaust with Christianity. And then when they hear of a Jew following Jesus, in their mind, this is the worst apostasy of all. And I say that to explain some of the extreme hostility towards Jewish faith in Jesus Yeshua in the land of Israel. More and more Jews are going to come to faith, and there's going to be more and more Jewish opposition in the land. Watch and see.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us. I'm coming your way again from Dallas, Texas, but not taking calls today. Sit back, enjoy the broadcast, but connect with me if you like via Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or you can connect with me on Twitter. That's Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. I'm talking today about increasing Jewish opposition in Israel to Jewish faith in Jesus Yeshua. Now, on the one hand, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to see this. There are more and more Jews in Israel who believe that Jesus Yeshua is the Messiah. There are even ultra-Orthodox Jews. It tends to be quiet. It tends to be hidden. It tends to be secretive for fear of if we come out and profess our faith publicly, we'll lose everything. We'll be ostracized. There could even be violence against us by some who are more extreme. But Israelis, native-born Israelis, secular Israelis, more religious Jews, different ones, more and more are coming to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And I'm quite sure that is going to increase greatly in the coming days. I believe that with all my heart. So it's only natural, as there is an increasing number of ultra-Orthodox Jews in the land. The number's over 10%. 15%, getting close to 20% of ultra-Orthodox Jews, very, very large families. The birth rate of secular Israelis is low. The birth rate of Orthodox and then ultra-Orthodox is very, very high. And then there are secular Jews who are becoming Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox. And the worst thing, just about the worst thing you could do in the eyes of an ultra-Orthodox Jew, as a Jew, is become a follower of Jesus and then proselytize, share your faith, try to make him known to more and more people. There was a missionary effort to distribute New Testaments in one city in Israel a couple of years back, and ultra-Orthodox Jews went to homes and to gather up the New Testaments that were given out. Don't take these, don't take these. And then they burned them. They burned them. Now, in their mind, this is dangerous literature. This is heretical literature. This is going to destroy the souls of Jewish people, and it should be destroyed. This is an idolatrous, destructive faith. Look at what it's done to Jewish people in history, so on and so forth. I understand through their eyes the hatred, the malice, the lack of understanding that this is an extraordinary Jewish document or collection of documents, all the writers of the New Testament, but one being Jews. I understand they don't recognize this is the extraordinary story of our Messiah. I understand they don't recognize that these words are words of truth and liberation. I understand that they don't realize the content of this book, and they look at it in a hostile way. But there were many Israelis who were very upset with them for burning the New Testaments and felt it was heavy-handed and felt it was a form of persecution. And they didn't have to think back that far to say, hey, the Nazis burned our books, and we're not Nazis. The Nazis burned our books, and we're not going to do that. I only use that illustration to say that there is opposition and it is increasing. And as we get closer to the end of the age, my personal feeling, I can't prove this, I can't demonstrate this. My personal feeling is that what we saw happening in the Gospels, the conflicts between some Jews and others, Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah in the Gospels and Acts, and religious leadership that opposed him without and out hostile persecution, we're going to see that increase in the land of Israel in the coming days. I'll give you a fascinating story that illustrates this.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Oh, okay, something just very, very quick before I get back to the subject of Jewish persecution of fellow Jews who believe in Jesus, Yeshua, and why I expect to see that increase in the land of Israel, and why I encourage my Jewish brothers and sisters in Yeshua to be bold and to stand firm and to stand strong regardless of cost or consequence. This is what love requires, and love motivates. It was couple plus decades ago, I was in Chicago participating at a conference for the Society of Biblical Literature. This is a gathering of thousands of scholars, professors, academics. It's a conference, Society of Biblical Literature and American Academy of Religion. They'd meet together. So you had thousands of academics there. You had grad school students, different ones. And papers are presented on wide ranges of subjects. And then you have panel discussions and people listen to the papers and interact with you. It's highbrow. There were a ton of people with very weird ideas about the Bible and Scripture. Just, you know, it's a mix. You get committed believers there. You get critical scholars. You get seminarians who don't believe God exists. You get people who die for the faith. I mean, just it's a wide, wide range. So I was there that year presenting a technical paper on a couple of Hebrew words in Psalm 2. And giving a detailed study from Hebrew and the Semitic languages. So that's why I was there. Present that paper, then interact with other scholars, and that's what you do at these conferences. So I just decided one day to step into this seminar on the Gospel of Matthew. It was a panel discussion with some of the top Matthew scholars, and there were about 70 people in the room. Now, when I gave my paper, I don't remember, but I'd certainly say there were under 20 in the room. And that would have been a very normal number. If you were a famous scholar speaking on an important issue, you'd get a larger crowd. But most of the papers you deliver, and you got 10, 15, 20 people sitting there. If you got a symposium with several different scholars presenting, it could be more. But this is one of the larger ones. And like I said, about 70 people in there. And even though I've been a student of the New Testament since the first days of being a believer, and I understand New Testament scholarship, and I can interact with it. In terms of academic training, I'm not a New Testament scholar. So you tend to stay within your lanes when you're in a conference like this. If you're in your academic lane, then you go to those seminars and you interact with those scholars because that's your field. If you're in another, you may more sit and listen. Well, anyway, these professors are giving their viewpoint on the main theme of Matthew, the driving theme, and one of them says, you know, it's a conflict with the religious authorities, the conflict with the Pharisees, and that's the main theme that goes through Matthew. And then another one presents, you know, it's actually a conflict over the question of authority. And he goes on with his explanations. And then another one, no, it's actually a conflict over Torah. And Torah observance and so on. And he goes on speaking, and then another, it's the law of love. I mean, he's coming from a different angle. That was interesting. So different ones now, you know, now there's the discussion. This one raised their hand, that one raised their hand, and then you raise your hand and you're acknowledged and you speak or you stand up and make your point and or argue with what they're saying, and it goes back and forth. And the more I'm listening, I'm thinking, wait a second. It's very obvious. It's all three. It's the conflict over authority, the conflict with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and the conflict over Torah. It's obvious. Those three things are weaved together in Matthew. It's just obvious. So even though this wasn't my primary academic field, and I'm not a Matthew scholar, I raised my hand, and I said, I'm coming more from the viewpoint of Old Testament scholarship and Jewish scholarship, but because of that, somehow I got the respect of the people coming from a different angle. And I just began to explain how I saw the three themes as all weaved together as one in Matthew, and how they were one, all, let's say, three different sides of a multifaceted coin. And they listened and listened with real respect and so on. And then it cycled and many others discussing, and it ended up now people were going for the second or third time because it's just a wide-ranging discussion. And I thought, let me just say one more thing. So I raised my hand and contributed more and seemed to get some real interest. And afterwards, one of the world's top Matthew scholars was walking through the hotel. I was sitting in the lobby, and he came up to me. He said, "Man, that was terrific. You should have kept speaking. That was wonderful. Boy, I got such insights listening to you." And when I was talking to some of the other folks afterwards, I said, "Well, you know how I see this." I said, "Well, you know, I'm a Messianic Jew. I'm a Jewish follower of Jesus. And since I've come to faith, I've dealt with the rabbis, I've dealt with the Orthodox Jews, the ultra-Orthodox, the traditionalists, those that would identify in a sense as modern-day Pharisees, because to a religious Jewish person, Pharisee is a good word, not a bad word. One of my friends, counter-missionary, would always sign his emails to me, your Pharisee friend, and I would write back to him, your Messianic friend. And basically, reading the Gospels, it seems I could understand it. I could see where the conflict was. Reading Acts, yeah, I could see the conflict. And then Acts reflecting the Jewish religious leadership, the Sanhedrin, which was largely Sadducean, and that's a lot of the conflict that you see in the book of Acts with Sadducean leaders and Messianic Jews, Jewish followers of Yeshua. Just living this out as a Messianic Jew over the years, I read the Gospels, and it makes sense to me. Yeah, here's the conflict. Here's the in-house conflict. Here's the opposition to the faith, and we're considered a threat to the system, and we're undermining the authority, and we're challenging the religious leaders, and we're saying the Torah finds its fulfillment through Yeshua, and therefore we're rejecting the traditional approach. It all weaves together as one, so I've got to live this out. And again, I can't prove this, but I believe as we get closer and closer to the end of the age, that we are going to see recapitulated in front of our eyes, recapitulated in front of our eyes, what happened in the Gospels and Acts happening again in Israel, that there will be an increasingly strong religious Jewish leadership as numbers grow. Now, I understand there are challenges to the growth of ultra-Orthodox Judaism in Israel. The ruling that ultra-Orthodox Jews would have to serve in the military with rare exemptions, whereas right now they get broad exemptions. The question of how much can the system just support. The one Orthodox rabbi said to me, "Oh, no, it's got to change. It's got to change because they're going to have to work regular jobs and not as many just study all day, and it's going to have to be a more practical reflection of Judaism." Nonetheless, I expect the numbers of religious Jews to increase. Again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. I fully expect more and more Jewish believers in Jesus, Sabras, native-born Israelis. I expect more and more ultra-Orthodox Jews to be coming to faith. I have enough of my friends, Messianic Jews in Israel, who've met with numbers of ultra-Orthodox Jews privately. I expect different rabbis to be coming out professing faith in Jesus Yeshua. I expect to see this happening, and with it, the conflict is going to intensify. The conflict is going to intensify, and we're going to have to go back to the book of Acts kind of boldness. Let me say again, I mentioned in the first segment, the second segment of the broadcast in the first hour, the first half hour, about Jewish terrorist Jack Teitel, who killed two Arabs in the name of Judaism and who tried to blow up the Ortiz family and maimed Ami Ortiz, who miraculously survived, Messianic Jews. He's sentenced to two life sentences plus additional years. He does not represent Orthodox Judaism. He does not represent ultra-Orthodox Judaism. He's a terrorist. You have Muslim terrorists, you have Jewish terrorists, you have Christian terrorists, and with Jewish and Christian terrorists, they do not represent their faith. Muslim terrorists, they represent an aspect of their faith. However, there are many less radical than Jack Tidal who will not blow people up but will oppose in many, many other ways and will try to legally impose and will try to illegally impose their opposition to the faith. It's going to intensify. And there is going to, there needs to be a fresh surge of courage, of faith, of confidence, of standing. We need to go back to what Yeshua taught. Don't fear those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Whoever they may be they Islamic, be they Jewish, be they atheist, be they whoever they are. Don't fear those who kill the body but can't kill the soul, but fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, don't worry about people. The worst people can do is kill you. Stand up, be strong, preach Yeshua, live out the gospel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to this special broadcast of the Line of Fire, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. You've got questions. We've got answers. I'm not taking your calls. I'm talking about what I believe will be increasing in the land of Israel in the coming years, more and more Jews coming to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, and more Jewish opposition, attempts to deport Jewish believers, attempts to stop the influx of Jewish believers into the land. Of course, that's been happening for some time. I expect it to increase. Physical opposition, crowd riots in the streets, intimidation, vandalism of buildings. Even as ultra-Orthodox Jews come to faith in Jesus Yeshua, physical violence towards them from their fellow ultra-Orthodox Jews, I expect it to happen in the coming days. I expect to see a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, which means that we need to continue to pray for boldness for Jewish believers in the land. You don't know how hard it is for me not to give out the phone number. It's just reflex after all these years, but I'm not taking calls today. Please do contact me through our website, askdrbrown.org. You can connect there via email or Twitter. And then best of all, get on my email list to receive e-blasts with tons of good information, articles, insights for you. A couple of quick things, then I want to get back to the subject. May 10th, Friday night, May 10th, I will be speaking at Pillars of Faith Church in Queens. Of course, it's for everyone at Pillars of Faith, but they are hosting the meeting for all of our friends in the greater New York area. I received a very sweet note from a listener in Connecticut, and she said, I know this is for New Yorkers, but can I come with my friends? Come from California. Come from Timbuktu. Come from all over the country. But in particular, all of my friends in the greater New York area, Friday night, May 10th, it's time for revolution in New York. Your hearts will be stirred. I believe you will be stirred as I bring a message and encouraged to stand and live for God. So come, bring your friends. If I've never met you face to face before and you're a regular listener, please come. You're listening in another city. Well, when are you coming to our city? We're getting it. We're getting to as many cities as we can where we have large numbers of listeners. So be praying for us to get to a city near you. Look, when you stand for righteousness, you're going to get attacked. Here, check this out. I write articles, conservative political themes, but from a spiritual, from a kingdom of God perspective. I write one or two articles a week on townhall.com, and then some with an even more spiritual perspective on Charisma News. So I don't read a lot of the comments. Sometimes I hardly get to read any. Sometimes I get to read more. But I spotted one. This guy doesn't particularly like me. This is what he writes. Michael Brown is such a fatuous jerk. And it was about same-sex so-called marriage. Same-sex marriage, he says, will not ruin America nor bring down the wrath of a non-existent biblical Bronze Age God on us any more than allowing blacks and women to vote, blacks and whites to serve together in the military, to marry each other did. Brown is nothing but a ridiculous Chicken Little, hysterically screaming the sky is falling constantly. Long ago, politicians, preachers, and others were fulminating against redefining voting rights to include blacks and women just as hysterically as today's religious idiots are screaming about same-sex marriage. Oh, yeah, of course. You're going to get people that attack you. Whatever position you take, you're going to have somebody on the other side that rails on you like that. Just got this note sent to me last night, just mocking my testimony. I'd love you to pray for me to God, so my prayers about your immediate conversion from paganism to Islam take place, and you can share with the world true testimony, not one made up on LSD and mushrooms. But my question is, why are you misinterpreting your scriptures so much to fit into religion instead of fitting religion into scripture? I know it's hard to work with such contradicting books as the Bible, but come on, Jesus, something can't make that out, wouldn't want you to lie so hard. Oh, okay. Of course you're going to get these people writing these kinds of things and mocking you and so on. But listen, friends, right now in the Muslim world, our Christian brothers and sisters, whether they all know the Lord or not, they're identified with Christianity. They're suffering terribly in Egypt, in Pakistan, at the hands of radical Islam, in northern Nigeria. Look, we have a tragedy like we do here in Boston, a terrorist bomb, people killed, maimed, lives wrecked forever. It's horrific. I don't want to minimize that for a split. How can you minimize a tragedy like that? And then just last night, another shocking news. You know, kind of woke up to it today. Shocking news of a massive explosion leaving many dead at a fertilizer plant in Texas, and you know, immediately speculation was it an accident or was there an attack with it? Let's just say it was an attack, it wasn't an accident, just for argument's sake. These types of things are horrific and never to be minimized. They're horrific. Please understand, though, that in other parts of the world, things like this are happening on an almost daily basis. And Christians are going to church services and being gunned down. And bombs are going off, killing scores and scores of people. And we hardly even think about it. We didn't even know about it. Now, I'm not saying that within Israel, Jews are going to be blowing up Jews in the name of Judaism because of faith in Yeshua. The fact that it happened with one extremist, he's a terrorist, he's an extremist. Are there others? I imagine there are, but I'm not expecting that to be happening all over. I am expecting increased persecution for my Jewish brothers and sisters in the land. And there was an article that was published in Charisma News last week, "Are You Prepared for Persecution?" It was written by friends of ours from Maoz Israel. And they talk about some of the organizations, Yad Lachim, well-known counter-missionary organization, involved in strong opposition to Jewish faith in Jesus. Well, Jack Title was part of Yad Lachim. Well, they deny, of course, encouraging him to violent acts. All I'm saying is, step back from the bombing, step back from something that extreme, and expect more of it in Israel in the coming days as radical ultra-Orthodox Jews oppose Jewish faith in Jesus through whatever means they can. It's a time for boldness. It's a time for courage. It's a time to stand strong and to remember what the Messianic Jews did in the book of Acts. They said, we're going to obey God and not man, and we're going to continue to preach Jesus, Yeshua. With all the great protections Israel has and all of its humanitarian work, we need to pray for grace on believers. Friends, if you don't have Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, get it now. Want to get into your hands, your gift of any size, one of the most important books ever read, wrote, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. It'll tell the horrible story of persecution of Jews in Jesus' name by so-called Christians. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, are you courageous? Are you a bold witness? Are you willing to stand and proclaim your faith in Yeshua at any cost or consequence?